Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. This is Donna Sebo, and we have a subject that most people never want to talk about. The reason being is we like to think life is going to go along in a smooth patterning without any upsets. But as most of us know, one time or another, life is going to hit us with some bumps. And sometimes they're little bumps. Sometimes they're gigantic bumps. My guest today, Katie Bannister, is a woman that has gone through, I'd say, her more than her share of bumps in life. But she is a person that has an attitude that I think is quite spectacular. And we're going to be talking about her wonderful book, The Personal Care Attendant Guide, The Art of Finding, Keeping, or Being One. Katie, welcome to the show.
Oh, thank you, Diana. It's great to be here.
You are quite a lady. You had an automobile accident in 1990 that left you paralyzed from the chest down. And you are a woman that instead of letting the circumstances conquer you, you decided you were going to take your life in hand and make it work for you, not against you. But it hasn't been an easy road. And you've been very independent since 1992. You have co-founded a special organization, which I'd like you to tell my audience about. And I want you to tell your story with more detail in what evolved for you in your life.
Oh, Donna, you know, like you said, some of these bumps in the road, they can be pretty big. And I think bottom line is I do believe what you put in is what you get out. And I've been very lucky, and when I say lucky that an auto accident happened to me, I really mean it, because my disability put me on a new direction. Prior to my disability, I'd obtained my degree in recreation and was working for parks and recreation departments and doing a lot of part-time work and couldn't find full-time work. And then I found a great job as a social director for an apartment community and was really going on track, and then 4 days later, I was in a SUV that rolled over.
Mm.
I was a passenger, and my friend Debbie was driving. Her roommate Lisa was in the back seat. And I don't remember the accident itself, which I think I'm kind of grateful for, because I think rolling over in a Jeep is something I wouldn't want to remember. But I did not walk away with it. I'll walk away from it. Both the other girls did. I know that wearing my seatbelt saved my life. And both Debbie and I had our seatbelts on. The gal, Lisa, in the back seat was thrown from the Jeep because she didn't have her seatbelt on, and she walked away from it, but she had a tough recovery.
Wow.
I guess I just remember the sound of the helicopter coming and taking me away, and I did 2 months of intensive care and 4 months of rehabilitation and physical and occupational therapy to get my life back together. And I am a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the chest down, and I can feel like underneath my arms and up through my thumb, but I can't feel on the tops of my four fingers. And my fingers don't work because I'm a cervical 5'6" quadriplegic, and I've got good arm movement because I exercise, but my fingers don't work, so I use assistive technology to write with, to eat with, and I even have a special brace that allows me to put on my own makeup. So,
Which is incredible.
Yes, it is incredible. It's incredible. And the two people that were invaluable were my physical therapist. She really helped me like my body again. And my occupational therapist, she gave me my femininity, because when you have a disability, you feel kind of like an it. You don't feel like no one's going to love you or anybody's capable of, being a good fit, having a relationship and finding someone to love you. And for a long time, I really thought that aspect of my life was over. a couple years later, I was doing advocacy work and at the state capitol in Jefferson City, Missouri. And there was a man there, and he seemed really nice. And I looked at him, and I asked him if I knew him, and he said no. And we talked, and long story short, found out his name is Steve, and he has a degree in rehab counseling. And we met at the Capitol, and from then on, he became my best friend, and we got married in 2000. So, you know, it's all good.
Yes, it is. You've led an incredible life. But I also want my audience to know that you have received a number of honors. You received a 2001 St. Louis Woman of Achievement Award, Missouri J.C.'s 1998-10 Outstanding Young Missourian, St. Louis J.C.'s Junior Chamber of Commerce 1995-10 Outstanding Young St. Louisans, and Missouri Governor's Council on Disability 1993 Advocate of the Year. You have really been a person that has wanted to educate people about being able, one, to take care of themselves and
yes.
live a very fulfilling life.
Yes.
But, two, how to deal with being able to hire a personal care attendant. In your very first chapter in your book, you have a poem. And this is how it read. I miss the me I used to be, standing on my own, but now wheels go round, freedom found, independence shown. Now, that little poem says a lot because it speaks the truth. It speaks what you felt.
Yes, ma'am.
And hiring a personal care attendant, I know of so many different individuals, varying ages, that are dealing with this, and it is such a big challenge. And I felt your book was so exceptional, The Personal Care Attendant Guide, The Art of Finding, Keeping, or Being One, because you come from the positioning of being the individual that has to be taken care of.
Yes, ma'am.
So you decided you were going to put this down in black and white.
Well, people keep asking me early on in my disability. I was in the hospital for 6 months, and then I lived with my folks for 15 months, and I moved out on my own in 1992. And, you know, I just kind of made it up as I went along. And you know, now living independently and being a woman on wheels now for 18 years, I've learned a lot. And people ask me all the time how I find my caregivers. And people told me I should write a book, so that's what I did.
Now, you bring out some very good points that I want to mention.
Okay.
If one needs the help of other people, they're not weak because they need help. So get the chip off your shoulder if you have one, admit you need help, and go on with the rest of your life. I love that.
Amen.
I love that.
Yes.
Because I thought, this is so important. What is it with this deal? Of course, we're indoctrinated with this. That we're supposed to have a stiff upper lip and get on with life.
Right.
Well, That's not always the case. We do have to ask for help. We do need to make that okay and not feel shamed because of it.
Exactly. You know, and asking for help is really, I think there's two aspects of dealing with a disability. One is the disability itself, accepting that and owning up to it and facing it head on and admitting you've got these challenges. And then the acceptance of dependency. You know, the fact that I do have to have somebody lay me down on my bed and put a tube between my legs so I can empty my bladder and then take the tube out and put me back in my chair. So, you know, the choice is not being able to go to the restroom or have somebody help me. And I'd rather have somebody help me than not.
Absolutely.
Yes.
You bring out some information about people with disabilities. You say they're the largest minority group in the United States.
Yeah, 54 million.
And that just was an incredible number. Now, what are you including in that? When you're giving a statistic,
yes.
Statistics are typically, they can always be manipulated. Who are you speaking about when you're mentioning 54 million people? That's a huge number.
Yes, it is. When I first got hurt in 1990, the number was 38 million. The government says there's two disabilities, physical and mental, but I think the breakdown is bigger. It's physical, sensory, cognitive, psychiatric. Physical disabilities affect the body's movement. People use canes, walkers, chairs.
Mm-hmm.
Sensory disabilities affect hearing and sight, It also affects smell and taste because some people have chemical sensitivities and that affect those two senses. And then psychiatric. And psychiatric, I used to just call mental until somebody straightened me out and said, no, these disabilities that are psychiatric, they are they affect a person's ability to interact with society. And I'll tell you what, that category is huge. We have psychiatric disabilities like depression, anxiety, obsessive compulsive, attention deficit disorder. There's huge, and what's tougher, I think, about cognitive and psychiatric disabilities is they're invisible. There's a lot of people walking around on legs that look normal. You see my wheelchair and you see that, yes, you need to build me a ramp, open the door for me, put on my braces. It's real obvious, but these are people, invisible disabilities are prevalent with, you know, depression and learning disabilities, all those things you can't see, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it's a huge audience. There's a lot of people with disabilities, and it's a population that anyone can join in a split second.
Yes, as it happened in your life.
Yes, ma'am. And as the baby boomers age, they're going to need more caregivers because mm-hmm. they're going to, and to keep costs down, it is usually less expensive to stay in your own home and bring help in rather than going to a more institutionalized or communal setting. So I'd like to maintain my independence and live at home as long as possible. And that's exactly what I wrote the book for people like me that want to maintain their independence and be on their own for as long as possible.
You bring up a point that you've got when anybody's dealing with any situation that is limiting them, where they must be dependent on other people, to get themselves out of their disability pity party and
yeah.
realize that there isn't an intended mold out there.
No.
And that people, you have to be open to all kinds of people, and you've got to let go of prejudices and barriers.
Oh, you so do, because, you know, I've had attendants who are, yes, average Americans, but they've been Bosnian, they've been Jewish, they've been black, they've been Asian, they've been just so many, comes in so many different sizes and packages. And sometimes when I've got to look for an aide, I just ask the universe, and I say, universe, please have someone knock on my door. I'll do the work, I'll interview them, I'll take them through my process, and I'll train them. But just send somebody to knock on my door. And when you ask the universe, it usually does provide.
Let's talk about how we can find a good personal care attendant. You talk about agencies, and you say we should interview the agencies. We need to look at scheduling, talk about compensation and taxes. Cover these items for us.
Yes, the good thing about an agency, going through an agency, is they take care of the paperwork and they supply the person. But you're going to pay probably a minimum of $14 to $15 an hour for that caregiver. And they often have 4-hour minimums. So if you need somebody just for a shower that takes your shower routine only 2.5 hours, going through an agency, you're going to have to pay a little bit more. Now, on the other end, when you hire your own, like place the ad in the paper, place an ad in a church bulletin or at a college student union bulletin board, you can pay that person directly, and they can make typically more money per hour than they would in an agency. But then you've got to deal with the taxes and reporting the income. And I use a payroll company. It's not expensive, really. It's like $34 a pay period. And they take care of the taxes. They do all the filing for me, and it makes it so much easier. So you just got to balance what's right with you. And if you've got to pay, a lot of people only work for cash, and that's hard for me because I'm running a company, and it's part of my expense. I run my attendant care expenses through a business, my business Access for All. So I do need to report the income. But I know there are people that do reimburse cash. They also reimburse a place to live.
Mm-hmm.
You could have your caregiver come in and be full-time and give a place to live, and you guys work out the schedule for what would be best in that kind of situation.
Now, you mentioned advertising. If
yes.
you're looking for someone, what places could people advertise, and how do they go about interviewing? Because that is so critical.
Oh, and it makes there's a way to eliminate a lot of time, and that is a lot of wasted time, is the telephone interview. First of all, you put the ad out there. If you go through the newspaper, it's expensive. I'll be right up front with you. The St. Louis Post-Dispatch now, Help Wanted ad, is around $200 or more sometimes when I place an ad, which is ridiculous. So I've learned other ways to find people, and that is through churches and through Allied Health School, like places where people go to get nursing training. I've hired people out of that from there. I've also hired people when I'm on college placement offices. You call the employment office and say, I'm looking for part-time help, and they'll send you, whether they'll say, okay, put a post, a sign up on the bulletin board in the student union, or they'll run an ad in their student paper, and I've had good luck with those resources.
All right, let's talk about the telephone interview. Now, that should be done first before the face-to-face. How would you do a telephone interview, and what are you looking for? What things do you need to pay attention to when you're trying to screen someone by phone?
I want somebody who's going to listen to me, that's not going to call up and just rant and rave about all that they can do and all about them, and does not listen to my questions, that does not thoroughly answer my questions, and show me respect, because bottom line, I'm the one signing the paycheck, and I'm the one in charge. And I do that immediately by when the phone rings, I have an interview sheet. And I have the interview sheet in the back of the book, a sample that you can use and copy off. And it's that way I tell every interview candidate the same thing. I list the job. I tell them what the job is, the duties, know exactly what you want before you go looking, and then the pay, the time, how my attendant affects my life, and how important it is that I need someone dependable. And you know what? Sometimes I don't mind caregivers who don't have a lot of experience, but they have a genuine openness and an eager attitude. And then that really can make a difference. I can show anybody how to do anything. I can talk anybody through anything, but it takes a really caregiving person, a person who has a caregiving personality, to be a successful caregiver.
All right, so you go through the telephone interview, then you're going to do a face-to-face. What do you pay attention to when you set that up?
Well, I ask them, and Donna, I tell you, I say, please, if you can't make it, call. And this statistic is so frustrating, but 80% of the 80% of the face-to-face interviews I set up don't show up for the interview.
That's terrible.
It is terrible because I think people, I'm very personable, and they want to get to know me as an individual, and then they think it's fun because I'm a fun person by nature, and they're like, they think it's great, and then sometimes I guess they decide they don't want to do it, and they're too lazy or too inconsiderate to call me, or they just don't want to disappoint me.
Mm-hmm.
So they lack the skills of being a very, dependable, open, honest person. And, well, I wouldn't want somebody that that would show up for the interview that was like that anyway, you know?
Correct. So if they don't show up, you say, okay, that one's dead in the water, period.
Exactly, and you go back to it. You just can't give up. You just can't give up. Be thorough and consistent. They come into the face-to-face interview. I've got a huge list of questions in the book that you can go through, and I loved market research work. I did that before my disability.
Now,
and I love people and interviewing,
mm-hmm.
so it really came naturally to me to make up that the list of questions and get the person to talk about their experience and their experiences, and they listen to you, you listen to them, and it's a real exchange. And I love people who can look me in the eye. People that cannot look me in the eyeball, it's really hard to trust them. That's one thing I've learned in a psychology 101 class, and now, using caregivers for 18 years. People need to look you straight in the eye and be straight with you.
That is a fascinating point. Now, as you said in the book,
yep.
The Personal Care Attendant Guide, and this is The Art of Finding, Keeping, or Being One, you've got an application form, you've got a reference form, which you ask them to fill out, you're interviewing them, but you also recommend a police record check. I think that is an outstanding recommendation.
Yes,
do you make them
that
that you are going to be doing that, or do you do that quietly without them being aware of it?
Oh, I let them know it.
Okay,
be upfront. Be honest. You're not hiding anything. When you start going and hiding things from them, then that starts the relationship on a whole the wrong level.
Mm-hmm.
The wrong level. So, yeah, I'm up front with them and say, you know, is it okay if I run a police or check? I need your information, your license number, and if they balk and they're, you know, well, I can't do that, or I forgot my license, you know, and they drove themselves to the interview, those are people that you don't want anyway.
Right, because they don't have integrity, and they could be up to all kinds of nonsense, and you just don't want it there. Now, I'm going to ask you a personal question. With this, when you're interviewing someone, Katie, how do you feel? Do you do it by yourself, or do you always have someone with you when you're doing the interview?
You know, I like to say that I'm a fiercely independent woman, but you know what? Being a quadriplegic, paralyzed from the chest down, I'm vulnerable. So I have my husband. He'll be there, and I'll introduce him to the candidate, and then he goes about the house doing his things.
Mm-hmm.
I also, before I was married and interviewing, my neighbor would come over.
Good.
And she would just sit and have a cup of tea at my table and pretend like she was doing something while I was doing my interview in another room. It's just people need to know that, you know, you're not a person that's going to be taken advantage of, that you know how to secure your safety, and it just sets a nice tone and puts you in charge.
Now, you also talk about when you have attendance, you have quite a few items to check. If there's problems, you don't let them stay for very long. Do you let them know that there is a probation time? Is that something you work with?
Not really. Well, sometimes I'll start them out at a pay rate and say after 90 days it'll go up a dollar.
Mm-hmm.
And that way they come in and they know that, no, this is just not going to be an easy cakewalk. This is a real job.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives you another sense of ownership of the job and that it is a job, because the job comes first. My caregivers, many of them turn into wonderful friends, but they still must respect the work relationship. They still must respect the fact that I need to do my shower routine at 7:30 in the morning. They need to be on time.
Mm-hmm.
And if they can do that, and then we get to have fun on as well, oh, it makes for a wonderful relationship.
Now, you have interviewed and have hired well over 400 people. That is absolutely mind-boggling. So
it
in
is.
That, in and of itself, says that this is something that if you're the person that is looking for the individual that is going to suit your needs, you have to be aware of the fact that your attendants may not be with you after a certain period of time. And I have to share with you, I had a wonderful conversation with a gentleman who was a personal care attendant
okay.
for 11 years. And he said it reached a point for him when the people he had been taking care of, and he loved his job, that they both ended up passing away, and simultaneously his father ended up passing away, and he said emotionally he just couldn't do it anymore.
You know, that is the toughest part, I think, when on the caregiver side. When
mm-hmm.
your clients get sick, when they pass, that's hard.
Yes.
Because you've developed a relationship. You're part of an extended family. I mean, a lot of my attendants that have left and moved on and do other things, I still maintain contact with a lot of them.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're my friends, and they know the insides of my working, and I know the insides of their working because, you know, while they're divin' a shower, we got to talk about something.
That's right. And I think that is something that we often forget, that
yes.
when someone is conscientious and they are having to take care of someone, they're not going to be able to be doing this 7 days a week. So you're going to have some kind of a rotation as well.
Yes, ma'am. Even for the family members. The family
mm-hmm.
members, oh, it drives me nuts when they say, oh, I can't let anyone in my house. I know no one can do it as good as I can do. And yet at the same time, they're burned out, they're angry, and they're sad, and they're depressed. You know, it's sad to say. I just want to say bring an aide in the home for a couple hours. Just try it. And
oh, I agree.
Yeah.
I agree. I think I have seen this happen so many times where people try to be the superhuman,
yes.
whether it's a male or female. It's not any different. It's like, I've got to do it. This is what my job is supposed to be. And they forget if they burn out, they're not going to be helping that person that's ill at all.
No, and in fact, Steve, my husband, wrote a chapter called When the Caregiver is a Spouse or a Significant Other. and right. the importance of getting time for just themselves, putting time just for them to do. I send Steve on errands. He has his own time. He's not with me 24/7. I have my morning attendant 5 mornings a week to get me up during the week, and then I have a night attendant 4 nights a week, and then Steve does the other 3 nights in my care in the afternoons and weekends.
Mm-hmm.
So we spread out the responsibilities so both of us, you know, maintain a nice, healthy, and happy relationship.
And I think that is so wonderful, and because you're saying, this is what I know I have to deal with. This is the reality of my life. You don't try to sugarcoat it. You're not trying to make it something in Cinderella land. You are saying, this is life. This is part of what I choose to accept as my responsibility. I like the perspective that you give. I should say perspective. Because you also deal with what the caregiver needs to be aware of.
Yes.
And what they're going to be going through and what they need to pay attention to, as well as being the person that's receiving the care, which is yourself.
Yes.
And I think your perspectives from so many different angles are so clear. And it's not often that you get that kind of feedback from someone like yourself. Now, I know we're just about out of time, Katie. Do you have a website that people can go to?
My website is accessforall.com, the 3 W's, and then access-4-all.com.
All right, repeat that again.
access-4-all.com. And they can reach me at katie@accessforall.com, K-A-T-I-E. And I love to share resources, and I love to help out in any way I can. So my website's full of resources.
Yes, as is your book, which I think is marvelous, because we all need to know that there are answers and there are resolutions. Katie, you're quite an inspiration. I want to give out your website one more time, access-4-all.com, and it's katie@accessforall.com. And Katie, do you have a closing thought for my audience?
When life hits you, be prepared to stand up, and even if you can't stand up, move on and make the best of it. You never know what's going to happen, and the best you can do is the best you can do.
And I would say you're a wonderful woman who has taken the time to write a book, share your insights and knowledge, and you're about the business of living and being able to make this world a better place. And my hat's off to you, Katie. I think you've done a phenomenal job.
Oh, thank you, Don. It was a lot of fun visiting with you.
I'm so glad. Katie Rodriguez-Bannister has been my guest. Her wonderful book is The Personal Care Attendant Guide. Go to her website, which is access-4-all.com. She has worksheets. She has forms. If you know of anyone that needs to be made aware of the various aspects of personal attendant care, this is a must-have book and a must-read. This is Donna Sebo. Katie, thank you again for being my guest. We're going to take a break. We're coming back in just a moment. Don't go away.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay only $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 1-800-872-8852. That's 1-800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Gedrose. Buy it today. 1-800-872-8852.
Donna Sebo publishes a popular, inspirational, and insightful newsletter filled with information about her upcoming guests, her travel schedule, seminar presentations, and upbeat articles to lighten up your life. You can subscribe to this free monthly newsletter by emailing her at Donna@DelphiInternational.com. That's Donna@DelphiInternational.com. You can also go to her website, www.DelphiInternational.com, and review past publications. Keep in touch with Donna through this monthly publication. Again, her email address is Donna@DelphiInternational.com, and her website is www.DelphiInternational.com.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and telephone lines are now open. If you'd like to call and let me light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, give me a buzz. Here are the toll-free numbers, U.S. of A, 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. For Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. Also, we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. If you've never called in before, if you are a first-time listener and you are wondering what it is I do, well, when you call in to the station, then what we do, we pick up the phone line, and then I will be on the line with you. I would like your first name or your initials. And then I love to know where you're calling from in the country. And then after that, let me do my thing. I'll give you my intuitive perceptions. And, of course, you are welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. So, again, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756, or 530-876-3222. Tomorrow we're going to have Betty Young on. Teaching Kids to Care is the title of the material we're going to be discussing, and I think you are going to find it really interesting. I think we've got our first caller for the day. Hello, caller. Welcome
Hi.
To the show. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
My name is Laura, and I'm calling from Tacoma.
Well, Laura, Tacoma, you're in my home turf.
You bet.
Well, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What I'm looking at, Laura, right off the bat is you apparently have something with a dietary adjustment that you are trying to figure out. And I don't know that the word allergy is the right word, but it seems like your body chemistry has changed over the last couple of years. And I'm seeing you having eaten something, and it's as if there is a feeling in the mouth as if there could be sores developing. Let me just use it as an example. If you eat too much pineapple, have you ever eaten too much fresh pineapple where it makes your mouth feel real strange?
Exactly.
Okay. Well, it's this kind of a sensation. Now, this could come from maybe too much chocolate or too much sweet, but it's as if the body is giving you a signal, and you're saying, I wonder what this is all about. Well, what it is, your body is telling you what isn't working.
Okay.
And so you need to listen to it and sort of let something go. Let's say it was too much sugar, just for the sake of the subject matter. Let's say it's too much sugar. Now, you might be able to have sugar in one form, but if you had it in another, it would just cause this stuff in your mouth and with your tongue or maybe with your throat. But it's a feeling that you get. It's a physiological sensation. Listen to that, make a note of it, and then leave whatever you had alone for a week or so, and then maybe try it and see what happens.
I just got diagnosed with diabetes.
Ah, okay, there we go. So your body is going through this adaptation. Be attentive. You don't need to go through a critical diabetic situation.
Mm-hmm.
But you do need to pay attention to what your body is telling you.
Okay.
So be aware, pay attention, and you may find that you have certain sugars that are okay for the body and others that are not. I know of one man that he knows when he's getting too much sugar in his system, his big toe bothers him. It really sounds corny. But he said, it's amazing. It's like a barometer.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes it'll be from particular concentrations of sugars.
Okay.
So you just need to be aware, and don't be upset, because this doesn't mean that you're going to end up eating cucumbers, you know, and vinegar for the rest of your life. It's not going to work out that way.
Okay.
It just means a different approach. So health is something that's on the front burner, which is a good thing. you mm-hmm. paid more attention to other people's well-being than your own.
Yep.
And economically, you're going to be all right, dear. You are going to become very assertive with the making of your own financial positioning lucrative. So I'm not too concerned there, but take care of yourself physically.
I will.
What's on your mind?
My relationship with my daughter.
All right. Now, why are you so concerned about this? Because you and your daughter, in many ways, and you can answer my question in just a moment, but you and your daughter are a lot alike. And in some respects, she has a drive and determination that you have had, but she's not utilizing it. It's as if she's gotten stuck because of some opinions that some individuals have expressed to her, and she's bought into it. So I think you're going to have to make it okay that she's in that positioning, and she's going to be there for a while. It's
okay.
Not good or bad. It's just where she is.
Okay.
And if you keep an open door for her so that she's able to communicate, be a good listener. And I would suggest maybe have some articles or a book or talk about something you see on television. But whatever you want to give her in the way of verbal perceptiveness or insight, cloak it with somebody else's story.
Okay.
Does that make sense, Dean?
Yes, it does.
What's going on with you and your daughter?
She's 14, and she's trying to find to be her own person, and we're having some conflict.
What kind of conflict?
She gets really angry at different things.
What does she get angry over?
Actually, mostly me. she isn't concentrating on her homework, and things aren't, you know, working smoothly in that area of her life. So she's getting kind of frustrated at herself.
All right. Let me ask you something. Do you have a counselor at school that you can discuss things with?
Yes.
All right. I would make an appointment.
Okay.
And I would make an appointment with the counselor, and I wouldn't go into a discussion with your daughter about it. I just do it.
Mm-hmm.
Just set up a time. And then I want you to make notes about your daughter's behavior, her frustration. And prior to going into the counselor, there will be an opportunity with your daughter. She loves to cook. She loves to be in the kitchen to do different things, like making up special things for the holidays or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And I would invite her to experiment with some recipes. That's a wonderful way to communicate with her. And when you're doing the process, just say, you know, honey, you seem to really be stressed with school. What seems to be agitating you?
Okay.
I know it's not me, so what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
And in that kind of relaxed mode, I think you'll get some answers. And just let her talk.
Okay.
Don't try to exhibit any opinions. Just say, well, that's really interesting.
Okay.
Because I think what's happening is that there is something going on in the environment at school, and it is a conflict that is inside of her, because she may be stepping over a line of no into a yes. And I think it has to do with interaction and social acceptance.
Okay.
And I think it's a small group of people. And I do think that if you listen carefully to what she tells you and then make notes, when you go in and talk to the counselor, express concern over the fact that she is having a problem in school, and ask the counselor if there's anything you need to be attentive to and or if there are some tutors. I'd like to see your daughter, because she is so intelligent, I'd like to see her getting some extra tutoring. And there may be a way of doing this through someone that is at the school.
Okay.
I would love to see a college student working with her.
Okay.
Rather than, let's say, an adult, someone that would be her peer. You know, if there was some way that you could get someone from a college that's going after a business degree or something like this. your daughter, I don't know that she is going to be what I call the academic type of student, but I think she is a very social person, and she needs to know it's okay if she wanted to become a chef, if she wanted to do something different. I know of a young woman that loves being a mechanic. She just absolutely has this passion for working on cars. We'll talk about not fitting into a box. She doesn't. So I think that this is important for your daughter to understand. She's 14. She's being exposed to just a very limited concept of the world. And she needs to be able to see that there's more to life than what she is looking at this time.
Yes.
And I think it would be very wise to involve her in some community programs that bring her into a mixture of ages, adults, teenagers, you know, and anything in between, that will enable her to see different perspectives.
Okay.
And I would encourage community work. If this is something that you could be comfortable with, that you could work it out, or maybe even working in a little theater somewhere. She needs to realize that the world is not as small as she thinks it is, and the world is not revolving around her.
Yes, and actually she wants to be a director.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
And is there a particular area of the industry that she's looking at? Does she want to get into animation? What does she want to do?
Well, she wants to direct videos. Also, she's a really good artist. She can draw anything, and she does. She loves to draw anime. It's a Japanese, graphic novel kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
And she's really good at it. She's talented.
Well, I'll tell you what. There is a phenomenal school in the Seattle area called the Seattle Art Institute. And I would encourage you to go with her on a tour. They have them all the time. This is a world that I think she will love.
Okay.
And they have all levels of artistic medium.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Oh, you are so welcome. I appreciate your call, Laura.
And I'm glad I found you. This is the first time I found you on the Internet.
Well, I'm so glad you did. It's a delight having you. And tell your friends, because I'm on every afternoon from 3 to 4.
Great, I will.
You have a great day now.
You too.
Donna Sebo here. Telephone lines are open, 877-876-5227. Canadians, 888-815-9756. And 530-876-3222. I've got more good things to share with you. We're going to be taking a break for just a moment. And remember, all I need from you is your first name or your initial. And then I'll tell you what I perceive. And we'll take it from there. You're welcome to ask a question about anything that you like. Donna Sebo here. We'll be back in just a moment.
Enter the magical world of God's kiss.
He sees a large open area of valley ground covered with a thick green grass. In the open space are many other children and animals. All kinds of animals. And all of the animals are talking. He can understand every word they are saying.
God's Kiss is a beautifully illustrated children's book about a young boy's journey into a valley with children and animals from all over the world. They are gathering together to experience the wonder of love and beauty that will affect their lives forever. A talking book audio narrated by the author Donna Sebo accompanies this wonderful storybook, creating a special magic all of its own. This book package makes a wonderful gift for those special children in your life, ages 3 to 10. God's Kiss, book and talking book audio are only $19.95 plus shipping and handling. And the author, Donna Sebo, will autograph and personalize your book if you request it. Call 800-872-8852. You can also order through Donna Sebo's website, www.delphiinternational.com.
Do you have a group, organization, or club that would like to have an interesting and dynamic speaker? Then you're going to want to have Donna speak to your group. She motivates audiences towards personal empowerment, giving them tools for their personal and professional success. If you would like Donna Sebo to bring a presentation to your next event, call Delphi International at 253-582-5604. That's 253-582-5604.
Hi, this is Donna. I know we've got a caller on the line. Let me give out the phone number. It's 877-876-5227. Canadians 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Hi.
And dear, I cannot hear you. You're going to have to speak up.
Hi.
There we go. I can hear you perfectly now. First name or initial, and where are you calling from?
Marcia from Sierra Vista, Arizona.
From where in Arizona?
Sierra Vista. It's near Tucson.
Beautiful area. You guys are growing like a weed out there.
We're still the Wild West.
Well, let's hope. Yeah, right. Okay, it's just growing, though. I mean, I'm just astonished at the growth out in Arizona. It's amazing to me. Of course, I'm astonished at what's happening in California, too. I'm just amazed. Of course, when you live up in the Northwest and you have all this green, it's always amazing when you go someplace else. But anyhow, let's get down to business with you, Marcia. I am really impressed because you are stepping up and into a new positioning of responsibility that is going to enable you to refine your communication skills in a very, very efficient way. Now, you are learning how to be unintimidated by other people's professional expertise, and I find this intriguing. You are learning how to pull together people so that whatever their level of expertise is, they will operate with you or work with you efficiently and well. I'm also looking at something with remodeling in the home. And I think this is a very good idea, and you're going to be able to do it absolutely inexpensively. I just am amazed at how little it's going to cost you to do whatever upgrades you're looking at. I think you're really going to shop around and do your homework, and then when you get it done, you're going to say, I'm going to have somebody do it so I don't have to waste my time and be stressed, and you'll shop around for that. You're going to get a good deal, and you're going to have a sense of accomplishment. It's really good. You've really taken a position of aggressiveness with your life and assertiveness. And this isn't an aggressiveness where you're trying to steamroll over people. Not at all. It's an aggressiveness along with the assertiveness that says, I have confidence in who I am. And so this is going to serve you very well on multiple levels. But I do think that on a professional level, not just a personal level, but on a professional level, that there are people that are going to take notice of this level of confidence and shift in you, and they're going to say, gee, we want to be able to work with you, we want to have you on our team. So I think you've got a lot of things going for you. I think 2008 is going to be absolutely awesome. I really do. I think especially in the professional arena. In relationships, I think you're going to feel a little wobbly, but not really. I think that with this self-confidence, you're going to say, if something works, it works. If it doesn't work, it doesn't work, and I'm not going to worry about it. Life's too short. Congratulations. That's a great way to be. What question do you have for me today?
Oh, thank you. I did get my tooth, a root canal done, and I'm concerned that I've had to go back again after the root canal, and I'm just wondering if you pick up that the treatment plan that I'm on now with all these antibiotics will clear up the problem, that I won't have to have cutting away the gum and doing another surgery, which is the next option.
Well, the antibiotics are fine. I think that they're going to do the job to a point. The root canal, I think when it was done, there was some tiny something that was left behind. And I think that's what has caused a bit of the problem. I do think that they're doing the best that they know how to do with this. And you might want to seek out a second opinion, because I am looking at something being washed out. That's the terminology I will use. So there may be a need to go in and do what I would describe as, again, a washing out. Now, I'm not a professional dentist. I don't know how they would do that. But I do think that there was something very, very tiny that was left behind. It was an irritation. And either there was a little bit of air around it or there was some kind of tiny, tiny something. So work with your dentist, and then if you need to, go and get a second opinion and say what other option besides a major surgery would be necessary. And if they had to do another surgery, it would be something that would be a major surgery, in my mind view. So I think that you need to find out what else can be done. Now, has it been permanently filled yet or not?
Yeah, the root canal was completely done. I just haven't had the crown put on yet, and it was done by a person that only does root canals. And
mm-hmm.
That's the problem now.
Well, I would try to find a second opinion if you can, to see what other options might be available, what could be done, and then discuss them with the person that's done the root canal. Things do happen, hon. This isn't a perfect world. And sometimes things can occur that are totally unexpected. Sometimes the body responds in a way that would never have been imagined. So be patient with this, because this, a root canal is major.
Yes.
I mean, there's no two ways about it. It is a major something.
Yeah, it is. Well, I love your show, Donna.
Well, thank you, Marcia. And I wish you well, hon, but do work with your doctor on this. And do pay attention to whatever needs to be paid attention to. And don't be afraid to ask questions.
Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome, dear.
Bye.
Take care. Bye-bye. This is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227, Canadians 888-815-9756. I do want to let you know tomorrow we're going to be talking with Betty Young. We're talking about teaching kids to care. And then next week we've got a wonderful lineup of people. We're going to be talking with Tom Tuohy. We have a wonderful book here called The Kiss of a Dolphin. Absolutely awesome. Then we're going to be talking with Tim O'Brien about Ripley's Believe It or Not. I love Ripley's Believe It or Not. I've loved it ever since I was a little girl. And this book, brand new one coming out this year, is The Remarkable Revealed. And it is awesome, absolutely awesome. Now, my guest, Katie Benninger, who we were going to talk with about the senior organizer, we have moved her to November 21st. What has happened is that she has been called out of town, and she wouldn't have access to a phone so we could do the show. So we've had, so on Wednesday of next week, it is going to be an open mic day. So that change has evolved. Remembrance of Times Past, Marta Hyatt. Oh, this is going to be fun. There's just a lot of nostalgia. Wonderful, wonderful material. And then we're going to be talking turkey with Leo Pearlstein, one of my favorite people. We always try to get together every year about the holiday time because he's got wonderful recipes to share and has so much fascinating history about food and the PR for things. So I wanted to let you know about that. I've been getting some calls, people wanting to know if I am doing private appointments. Yes, I am. And if you want to reach me, you can always call my office at 800-872-8852. I do private appointments, obviously. They have to be scheduled. And you can call me, and I'll be happy to discuss that with you. Also, I am going to possibly be making an appearance in the state of Washington for a special program during the month of December. And this is in the process of being determined, and if it all comes together, then I'll be letting you know about that. Anyway, if you want to give me a buzz, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. I came across some fascinating, fascinating information. There's been a lot of material that has come out about cosmetics. And we gals, we love our mascara, we love our powder, our makeup, our lipstick. I mean, this is just something that's been a part of our lives. Well, they're discovering that there is lead in lipsticks. There's always these different toxic items that have been in makeup. Well, as time is going on, as technology becomes more and more refined, we're saying things have to change. Well, they are changing. Now, I know I'm just about out of time, so I better save this. I'll be talking to you about this tomorrow if we have some time. Some wonderful, wonderful news regarding the world of cosmetics. It's been just such a wonderful hour. Thank you so much for being with me today. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Life is a wonderful experience, and you are the one that gets to choose how you're going to make that experience work for you, regardless of what your challenges are. Remember Katie Bannister, the gal that was with me today? She is a living example of what someone can do regardless of the way life hands you your challenges. You can be served them up on a platter, but you can also decide how you're going to use them so they make your life richer. This is Donna Sebo. Talk with you tomorrow. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.